This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's 5 o'clock on the most listened to sports talk show for your ride home.
What?
It is time for the Falcons Report.
Whoa.
Casey got another pick. Here's Julio down the far sideline and will score. Sacked. Grady Jarrett got another one.
You shall not pass.
The 5 o'clock Falcons Report.
Oh, my heavens.
On Dukes and Bell.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying,
hey man,
happy Wednesday. It is another day of mandatory minicamp for our Atlanta Falcons, and we will certainly break that down and let you know what Matt Ryan had to say. Also, we'll hear from Julio Jones. I've got a problem with Vic. Imagine that.
Oh, here we go again. Duke with his strong sports opinions.
It's coming your way. But first, I want to remind you, you can always find us across all social media platforms. The radio station, 929 The Game. Like us on Facebook if you've not done so. Instagram, you can find us there. And on Twitter, where Mike Bell has just posted a picture that says, you talking to me? Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'em Up. See Dukes. And this radio show is Dukes and Bell, 929. Coming up, we will talk about the Braves. Big home run derby competition last night between our guys on this club, and we end up winning. But tonight we get a chance to see Soroka. We're going to talk more about that and potentially another move that I think needs to be made in less than 15 minutes. But, Mike, we got a chance to hear from Debo today. Deion Jones saying that, he just wants to feel like himself again. But more importantly, he has a lot to prove. And he thinks the defense as a whole has a lot to prove coming off of the injuries.
Right. And Debo, again, a dude who's had to do some more rehab after he finished the season. He came back early off the injury. But there's the photo that D-Led posted in the AJC. And he looks ready to rock and roll, man. He's the one guy, and if you've ever seen him at a team event or as a fan, even if you're close enough to see him on the sideline, he's got an intensity about him. Yeah. He's the leader on that team. He's a dude who sets the tone, and that's why really, really we missed last season. But great to have Debo out there, and he gets it, man. He totally gets what's expected.
Dan Quinn singled out the play of Caleb McGarry.
First-round pick.
And Edo Smith today, among others. And listen, I think, for the young guys, I said this, you're not necessarily trying to get the coach's attention, but you do want to be doing a good job and picking up on the things they're asking you to be pick up as we get closer to training camp. I think also today, as it was reported, Austin Hooper watched a practice from the field, at least the last half of practice. Does not have a limp, Mike. Remember, we talk about all these other guys. He's coming off of an injury as well with an ankle. So he says apparently he's fine and doing fine. But the big thing today I think Dan Quinn talked about was the DBs, and we've had this discussion. Isaiah Oliver, how good is he going to be? I trust KZ. KZ guys came in last year and made plays. I believe True's going to have a rebound year. You add Rico back into the mix, okay? But Isaiah Oliver is the guy now who has to take that next step. And Dan Quinn said, quote, Mike, I've had a good sense of where he is, but I'm happy with where KZ is on the change position. So we're talking about playing nickel most of the time. Remember, getting those guys back like Keanu Neal, KZ is going to be playing a little bit more corner.
Ricardo Allen still coming back off his injury, and you just talked about Keanu. I think every Falcon fan out there says the biggest playmaker on our defense last year was DeMonte KZ. And this isn't about all the injuries. This is about a guy stepping up and, fifth-round pick who was a corner, then asked to play safety, who's now asked to play corner. So it's not a fish out of water. He can do all the things. He can play run support. The guy can lay some lumber on folks. Love this guy's game, and he's a playmaker. He does what Alford and Trufant haven't been able to do over the years, and that's get the turnovers. Mm. Hold on to the rock when somebody throws it in your general direction. So I'm excited about that. Isaiah Oliver could be the linchpin. Can he get it together? Can he up his game? Learn from the mistakes, and there were many last year when he got a chance to get out there.
No doubt about it. Let's hear from our quarterback. We're talking about our quarterback. Matt Ryan, who is talking about, what he's seen so far with the young offensive linemen, the progression and where they are right now.
Well, I think it's been kind of a steady improvement since we started, and I think that's continued the last 2 days, particularly for our young guys, whether it be Chris or Caleb. I mean, those guys, every time that they step onto the practice field, they're going to get a look that they haven't seen before. a play that we haven't run against a certain look. And I think all of those reps that they get, they can kind of store in their memory bank and use that as we come back in you know, a couple of weeks to get started with training camp. So I think these days are invaluable for them. But, you know, I just see their communication getting better and better as we keep moving forward.
Dan Quinn had a great T-shirt on the day that read, "Locked," quotes, "Locked." Is that like locked and loaded, locked and ready, locked? That was the phrase today, Mike. I don't know if that's something that we're going to be seeing as we go
all
through
right.
training
I
camp.
Mean, hey, remember a couple of years ago we saw him at the Senior Bowl. He had that Brotherhood vest.
Oh, yeah.
Falcons patched in. Remember started playing the Sons of Anarchy music?
Of course.
We're so, locked and loaded,
locked,
baby.
We're locked. So that was what Quinn was talking about today,
all
or
right.
at least that was what he was wearing. Meanwhile, here's Matt Ryan talking about the irony of having another Boston College guy. Now, remember, that's Lindstrom.
Right.
Guard,
14th overall pick, a guy who's got the pedigree, and everybody from Boston College pretty much pans out when they get drafted high in the NFL.
Ryan.
Not to jinx him.
On another BC guy.
I love having some guys from BC here for sure. Chris was a great player there during his time. You know, but the bond is it's about here and now. And we're just excited to have him. You know, as a part of what we're doing, you know, but I've heard great things from all the people that I know at BC about him and what he's going to bring to the table.
He's got to start. I mean, we've talked about this. Top 15 pick, you're going to earn that job. And already we're hearing a lot of good things on the air, off the record, I should say, about this guy. And then Caleb McGarry. And you saw some video today, him tangling and getting into it and scrapping. There's some good things happening on the O-line. We've got guys in Jamon Brown and Carpenter that can step up. And, again, there'll be a battle. Dan wants to see competition. But I really want to see McGarry. I just assume Lindstrom's going to be starting at one of the guards. I mean,
it's got to be.
I know that Dan will continue to say the competition continues. But this is the good news. If anything does happen to the line, you've got depth. You've got backups that can swing, can play tackle, play guard that you haven't had the last couple of years, regardless of who wins the jobs.
It is Dukes and Bell. It's our Falcon Report, guys. It is always brought to you by our friends at Domino's.
Hey, man. Pizza party. Watch some hockey. Then you got some hoop. I mean, there's something going on almost every night. With Domino's, guys, a large three-topping pizza, $7.99. If you want that great deep dish taste of a pan pizza, it's fantastic. Also, $7.99 for a medium three-topping pan pizza.
So, Vic Beasley spoke to the media yesterday, guys, and you guys know this. He's at mandatory minicamp. He did skip OTAs. But what he said just kind of rubbed me a little bit the wrong way. Now, I want you to take this. Just step back for a second. I don't know what your line of work is, okay? But there is an element of pressure. There is an element of being rewarded for the job that you do. And how do you get that reward? Well, usually it's based on numbers. Usually that reward is based on amount of sales that you have. Maybe it's based on a big project that you have to complete. Maybe it's with other coworkers or not. But it has to do with excelling at what you do and being the best at it. So when Vic Beasley yesterday said that he felt no pressure coming into this season, I had to do a double take. Here's what he said.
All you're going to see for me is me playing my heart out, giving my best effort for my team, and just trying to help us win games. I'm just trying to be the best player I can be. I'm not moved by statistics or anything, but that is a goal of mine. More than anything, I want to help this team win ball games.
So when I hear I'm not motivated by statistics.
No, he wants to help the team win ball games.
Mike Bell, what are you motivated by?
He said he wants to just help the team win. It doesn't matter about stats. It's not about individual achievements. It's about the goal, the we in this together.
Okay, so here's the part of this, guys. In professional sports, when you put up...
I'm playing devil's advocate because
yes,
I understand what you're saying.
When you put up numbers, right, you get big contracts. If you don't put up big numbers, you don't last long. Statistics matter. And I don't know, Mike, you said this about Vic, and we're trying to figure this out. And I hope the guy has a great season. You know, we're going to be cheering like crazy. But what I want to hear from my elite pass rusher is that I'm motivated to be the best guy to get sacks on this team. He should have said today or yesterday, yeah, I'm going to lead the team in sacks. That's not ego. That's him and an expectation of being the best pass rusher on this team.
Maybe he doesn't believe he's capable of doing that.
Well, then you know what? What's your motivation? Because if it's not statistics and it's not money and it's not whatever motivates you, and you know what motivates you, and I'm talking to you right now because I know what motivates me. I know what motivates Mike. It's about being number one. What's your motivation? Because stats matter. If Matt Ryan doesn't have an MVP season, guys, he doesn't make $30 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
So I just don't understand what is the motivation for Vic Beasley. I don't want to hear our best pass rusher, allegedly, saying – well, you know, I'm not motivated by stats.
Hey, Craig, play the first part again, because he's talking about putting his heart into it, man.
Oh, jeez.
Take a listen.
All you're going to see from me is me playing my heart out, giving my best effort for my team.
He's going to play his heart out.
Just trying to help us win games.
Best effort. Yeah, man, that's that might not translate to sacks. It might not translate to the
thing. Then what does it matter? No, you're killing
just,
me.
No, he's just, I'm playing devil's advocate here. He put his heart into it.
Now, here's the deal. And Mike, you know, this is a very opinionated show. Very opinionated show. You said we are not trying to bully anybody, okay?
Because, again, yesterday we got accused of bullying Vic Beasley. Vic Beasley is capable of coming in here and with one hand cracking our two heads
both
together
both
like a couple of eggs in an omelet.
Both of us. He could shake us just with one finger, okay? But the reality is, Vic, man, I need you to be motivated by being the best at what you do. And I to tell me, like, stats don't really matter, that's the Julio thing. I love him. But if you're going to be the highest-paid wide receiver, you better put up numbers.
Now, it's interesting, and I brought this up earlier, if you guys caught the NFL Blitz, in an interview with the St. Paul Pioneer Press, a guy that has been considered, you know, a quarterback worth of a big contract. Some people say, I'm not sure about that. Talking about Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins is totally aware of what people have said about him around the NFL and in Minnesota. You know what he said at the end of the interview? He goes, I'm a 500 quarterback. I don't want to be a 500 quarterback because people don't want to pay to see a 500, you know, winning percentage quarterback. So he's aware of it. And again, everybody approaches, as you said. What's your motivation right now, you and your car? Is it putting a roof over your kids' heads, keeping the mortgage payment made?
I think for most folks it's simple. Yes.
That's it, you know?
Absolutely.
But, I mean, we always said, we talked about it earlier, and bring, you know, we are performance-based. We got to put up numbers or you won't hear us. And then I'll be DJing in the Keys, you know, and Carl will be spinning R&B in Houston. So, I mean, we got to keep putting up numbers. What would you do, by the way?
I wouldn't be doing that. I'd do something else. I mean, I don't know what I would do. I have no idea.
Lead a life of leisure?
I mean, I have no idea. Well, the check would be big, though. Either way.
No, I'm just saying. The point we're getting to is you got to put up numbers. Unless you live in you're working at the post office where I guess you can stay there forever. I mean, most people got to put up the numbers. I get it. You'd like to hear Vic say, what are my goals this year? Pain. Destroy my enemies. See them driven before me. Hear the lamentations of the Saints fans.
If he said, I'm going to lead the team in sacks, would you be mad at him today?
No. But that's just, again, brother, no. I think we have to accept that's just not his style. He's never going to come with that.
Well, somebody tell me what he's motivated by, because stats matter. It's Dukes and Bell.
I'm just trying to be the best player I can be. More than anything, I want to help this team win ball games.
I just want to give it my best shot, and the good Lord willing, things will work out.
I got to tell you, Carl, I'm having a good Wednesday, man.
You are.
Got to play Eastlake today. I know you had stuff with the family. Couldn't make the media tournament to promote the tour championship. Got to play with our buddy Justin Farmer from WSB. Boy, he's good, man. He can bomb it.
Anytime you get a chance to play Eastlake, it's a good day. And listen, you said it. Ticket sales are already up.
Yeah, because Tiger Factor, obviously that got people fired up. And to see the top 30 golfers in the world, they're competing, and it's an intimate setting. By the way, hats off. We got to see all of our favorite chefs. I've been saying for years we should have baseball cards for cooks for all our favorite restaurants.
Oh, man.
Got to see our man Kevin Rathman from Kevin Rathman, all his great restaurants, Rathman Steak and all that. Got to see our man Jerry from Aria. All the guys, the Fox Brothers were there. They had a big setup, and you knew about this from last year. They do this thing called 1904 Club,
yeah,
where it's basically for corporate hospitality, but you pay one fee, and you get to eat during the tournament with some unbelievable Atlanta restaurants when you're up there at Eastlake. It's a pretty good deal. So they were providing the food today.
Yeah, it's one of the coolest, I'm not going to say deals, because it's pricey, but it is well worth it for a chance to experience a tournament in that manner. Well, I'm glad you guys got a chance to enjoy it. Big shout-out to all the chefs out there. Yes, we love all of your food. And restaurants, because we are foodies, and that's why we talk about it all the time.
So I got good news and I got bad news about our round today.
All right, what's the good news?
By the way, Squidbilly's still doing he does the Wade Boggs swing. He starts it at 11 o'clock and it comes over to 4 o'clock.
Yeah, it didn't work?
No, but he had a short game. Squidbilly had some nice putts and some good stuff. I broke 100 today, which is pretty good, right?
That is good.
Bad news, it was 9 holes. That's a problem.
That is a problem.
I got one par.
I was like, oh, wow. Yeah,
I got one par, and Farmer's like, I'm sure we'll hear about this. And no, Farmer was bombing it today, so Justin was killing it. Good
job. All right.
And Kent Bazemore broke a over 100-year-old golf club today. That they had these old persimmon clubs that Bobby Jones used to use. We have no idea if these things were priceless. Well, one of them is now broken because Baze hit it too hard.
I told the story earlier when I first started. I was, like, collecting clubs from people because, right, you know, I just wasn't able to buy clubs. And I got a couple of those old woods, those original woods. Mm-hmm. I wish I would have kept them. I don't know if they would have been worth anything.
I just know how those dudes hit those things,
man. It's incredible. You don't see them in this day and age.
All right. But anyway, there's a bunch of things going on. Real quick, we don't have confirmation from United. Doug Robertson from the AJC is reporting that the game with Charleston for the U.S. Open Cup will be played at Fifth Third Bank at Kennesaw. Again, United has not confirmed this. It's in the AJC's website. But we don't know if the game is – a lot of guys are asking us on the text line, will the game be open to United fans? We don't have any confirmation on that. It was supposed to be a home game for the Charleston Battery.
Yeah, weather obviously has postponed this match. And the issue right now, as Mike Conti brought up earlier, is, you know, do you get it in? And if you do, when? So they're trying to hurry up and find a date because we get back to MLS play Wednesday the 26th, mm-hmm. and that's going to be on the road at Toronto. So, you know, you literally take the day before out because you're traveling.
Right.
I mean, you're trying to figure out when you can get this match in. So hopefully it all works out. If anything breaks on that, we will let you know. Ezekiel, who follows us,
Ezekiel,
on Twitter, he says, Dukes, man, in all fairness, I thought Vic said he said moved, not motivated. No, he said motivated. He said, I'd like to hear the comment in full context, please. He says, but I'm hard on Vic as well.
So he feels we're doctoring Vic's comments. Yeah. We played you Vic Beasley saying he's going to give it his all. Play
all
it again.
All you see for me is me playing my heart out, giving my best effort for my team, mm-hmm. and just trying to help us win games. I'm just trying to be the best player I can be. I'm not moved by statistics or anything, but mm. that is a goal of mine. More than anything, I want to help this team win ball games.
Yeah. I just want to give it
will you stop?
My best shot.
Stop.
And the good Lord willing, things will work out.
Now, what could you possibly have that, not the Kevin Costner, Bull Durham, explain to Nuke Lelouch what you're supposed to say in interviews. How could you possibly have a problem with what Vic Beasley said, you cynical Carl Duke?
Listen, moved, motivated, it's all the same.
He's going to help the team, Carl, and sacks are overrated, as Mike Smith from Memphis.
Yeah, I know. You don't get anybody on the ground. What do you move by? I mean, seriously, I would love to know. I'm not going to rehash this. I'm just, I would love to know. Like, Julio's thing is like, yo, ain't nobody better than me.
Mm-hmm.
And at times that comes out. And it's why Julio has been able to go back to the negotiating table a couple of times, even before it was time to, Mike. I mean, mush. You know what, man? Let's get to the strong arm story of the day.
The strong arm story of the day is brought to you by John Foy and Associates Personal Injury Law.
All right, Mike, before we get to our strong arm story of the day, Bo just said that the Atlanta United has confirmed your information, but it will be closed to the public.
Yeah, I know a lot of us wanted to jump the fence at Fifth Third Bank and see us take on Charleston extra game, but again, it was supposed to be a home game for them. It's the only remedy they can come up with. Their field is basically mush down there in Charleston, so it'll be played, but you won't get to see it. And we'll try to get some details on how you can stream it because there's some strange broadcast rules about this one that precludes us from being a part of it, but we'll get you more information tomorrow.
All right, so there you have it, man. Let's talk about our Braves because that's what it's about. Home run derby last night. B-Mac, man, looks healthy. Remember when we signed him and we were like, okay, what B-Mac are we getting? Because he's a little bit up in age. Mm-hmm. We said he was going to bring the leadership to this club, and we knew that. But he's also showing he still has a lot of power left, Mike, at age 35. He hit one of our four home runs in the second inning last night. And I want you to hear B-Mac. First of all, the seventh inning three-run homer, but also he talks about making adjustments to his game, which has really helped him at the plate.
Swing and a drive. Oh, it's a no-doubter for B-Mac into the chop house. He got a 3-0 green light, and boy, is he enjoying that trot around the bases.
It's amazing that Brian so far had not hit a home run at SunTrust Park, and now he makes up for a 2-1 game. He's closing in on the 1,000 RBI milestone, which Nick Markakis reached, which got a great response from the crowd.
It really did. Let's hear Brian McCann talk about the adjustments.
I haven't really hit the fastball all year, so I made some adjustments. Paid off.
Okay.
Yeah, man, Brian, and it's a great story. We talked about this earlier. We weren't sure what Brian was going to be bringing other than the platoon at catcher, but he's done a fantastic job, and when he's in there, he's making a big difference. He's batting .282. He's providing RBIs. Now he gets to work with his old teammate from the Astros and Dallas Keuchel. So the B-Mac signing has been great, and everyone just loves to see him back here in Atlanta.
Meanwhile, do we have a decision to make on Mike Foltynewicz?
Well, all right, you know what? We all have our thing. You win it on Vic. Let me go in on Fulty.
Fair enough.
Fulty was at a quality start. You did win the game. He gets you five innings, but there's also some earned runs involved. And Mike Foltynewicz, the book on him, five hits, four earned runs, five strikeouts. It was 63 strikes out of 96 pitches thrown. But Faulty is supposed to be the ace. So if you want to keep patting him on the head and saying, well, that was a good effort, something to build off on, okay, great. If he can continue to put these together, as long as we're winning, I don't care. But he's supposed to be the ace of the staff. He's not a kid. He's not 21. He's 27 to be 28 at the end of the year. And I keep thinking we're handling this guy with kid gloves. I mean, he's got to get his head right, get his confidence, and let's hope that he continues to do this to the All-Star break and he'll come out, you know, smoking and raring to go. But right now, I think he's a big question mark.
Yeah, to your point, if it wasn't Bomb Squad last night, we would have been talking about Faulty. But because we got all the home runs and we end up winning the game, and by the way, there was a rain delay last night. They called it, but at the end of the day, we win the game. It didn't matter. But, Mike, we made a move with Gausman. And you go, all right, that needed to happen because he just wasn't getting anybody out. We said it. Three combined starts, eight and a third of an inning combined in those three starts where he had given up a ton of runs. I think it was 17 earned runs. But Faulty's not that bad. But the problem is he hasn't been that good where you feel confident enough to say, on a night where we don't get five home runs, what happens?
Well, that's just it. He's your ace. Here we go. First inning, okay, just spotted the Pirates too. Go get him, guys. Good news is this team is so dynamic, 1-8, they can bail you out. You talked about McCann's two home runs, Markakis with a home run, Donaldson goes yard, Albies continues to do his thing. But, I mean, I know you asked the question, do you trust this pitching staff? No, I was still trying to make a move for Madison Baumgartner. We talked about it with Dale Murphy. We asked Alex Anthopoulos about it. Would you like to see Sean Newcomb as a starter now? Do you think he's earned that right, or you want to see him do another long stretch from relief? Because, you know, if you're going to go six-man, then Newcomb's got to be a starter. If you're going to do a six-man rotation.
But I think he's going to get at least two starts out of this whole Gausman situation. Maybe three.
Right.
To kind of prove himself. Mike, if he goes out and pitches really well against the Phillies on Saturday,
right,
and we win, it's only going to boost his confidence, and then he gets another start in 5 days. I think that's when you start to go, okay, this is moving in the right direction for him. And then you have a good problem. Because what you're hoping is Gausman comes off the IL – he's got his head right. He starts to pitch well. Newcomb's in a great place. And now, here's Dallas Keuchel. So, all of a sudden now, this thing that we were talking about playing out, potentially where, you know, will we go to a six-man rotation, you will have some options there. Either way, the offense, guys, right now is what we're talking about. And there is no debating how good this lineup is, top to bottom. I think we have a top three lineup in the National League and maybe in Major League Baseball. And I mean that. You look at the Dodgers, you can talk about the Cubs, that's fine. We're right there with the way this team is raking right now.
Or do you want to see Tukey Toussaint become that fifth starter or sixth starter? Tukey did a nice job again last night, 1 2/3 innings. Minter, Swarzak gets his first save. So, you know, once you got past what we got to get past, Minter, by the way, with one earned run as he comes back from, Minter is coming. I still get a lot of trepidation when they open the bullpen door and Minter comes trotting out. He got called up from Gwinnett. I mean, I still think you got to get a closer. You got to get a setup man. Unless you feel happy moving Luke Jackson up to the guy that would come in the eighth inning. Don't you still want to get a closer for this squad?
Well, that's the thing. A guy asked me today, he was like, you know, do you foresee any other moves? He wants to trade and package. The two guys right now would be obviously Camargo. I said I'm not getting rid of Camargo, but he also talked about Ender.
But there's no market for Ender.
There's no value.
Gold glove center fielder, but the bat has tailed off, and Camargo hasn't been hitting this year.
No, but I'm not trading Camargo just because of his value to give me flexibility with all the positions he can play. You know, guys, the baseball season is a long season. Guys come, they're ups and downs. You don't get rid of a guy because he hasn't been raking. Ender has had a consistent problem over the last few years with the same thing. So now, you know, you find yourself in a situation where, and I said this, it wouldn't surprise me if they're trying to shop Ender. Right. I just don't know if you're not going to get a dominant closer back for Ender.
I mean, Camargo is like a Swiss Army knife. I get that. But Matt Joyce is your left-handed pinch hitter batting 300, you know, coming off the bench. So there's some good things going on. But last night, man, it was, despite faulting, it was a good win for the Bravos. And to see the crowd going bananas on B-Max home runs, just good stuff. It's been so much fun. And now, once we get done with the Pirates, the Phillies coming to town. And this could – somebody's feelings are going to get hurt. Like, I hope we can come out of here with maybe a 2- or 3-game lead in the East once we get done with Philly.
It is Dukes and Bell. It's our strong arm story of the day. Craig, what did you just tell me? I'm sorry.
You can't hear Craig. It's Carl's imaginary friend. That's
no, because their mics doesn't work. Thanks, Terry. He just told me Vic Beasley talked about the Braves last night.
We got to play him one day at a time.
Stop. You know what? Oh, by the way, you know, we're going to be in that locker room, you know, and I said enough about Vic over the last year and a half. Vic is just going to come in and go, who are you? I mean, he might just, you know, he might just do like a WWE move on you when he sees you in that locker room.
You know what? It's all love. Like I said to Ezekiel, and I say it to every Falcon fan, I need results. I need results.
The man said he's going to give you everything in his heart, Carl. Carl, look into your heart. Look into your heart.
Coming up, Mike Conte, in case you missed it, is on the way. Also, man, there are a ton of NBA stories we've got to get to in the 6 o'clock hour. Mm. Durant has his surgery. There are rumors about what the Hawks are going to do with the draft. Kyrie tells the Celtics what he's doing. There's a bunch of stuff going on. And then we find out who the Lakers potentially are shopping to get AD. Mm. Stay right there. It's Dukes and Bell.
I'm just happy to be here. Hope I can help the ball club.
It's time now for In Case You Missed It with Mike Conte.
Have I got good news for you?
Right here on Dukes and Bell.
So are the Hawks trying to package a deal for the NBA draft? Word is that might be the case, and we will explain what we've heard coming up here in less than about 12 minutes from now. With that said, Mike Conte's in studio with us. It's In Case You Missed It. What's going on, Mike Conte?
Been getting a lot of tweets this afternoon wondering what I think about Game 7 tonight.
Yeah.
I don't know why people care what I think, but I'll tell you.
Because you're a hockey guy,
yeah,
brother. What the puck?
I think it's really hard to bet against the Boston Bruins because they're at home. They have momentum after winning Game 6, back up against the wall, and they just blew out St. Louis in the third period on Sunday, so they have momentum. The one thing that is keeping me from going to the betting window, though, on this one is that in a Game 7, you have to feel like the referees are not going to call a lot of penalties.
True.
Yeah,
you're going to be really loose.
Especially the longer that
really
game
loose.
Goes.
You're right.
The longer the game goes tonight where the Blues are not trailing, the better the chance the St. Louis Blues are going to win the Stanley Cup. You're not going to have a power play in the third period of Game 7. Okay?
Right, right.
So the Blues have been, I think, clearly better than the Bruins at even strength in this series.
9-3 on the road in the playoffs are St. Louis too, Mike.
That's true. And the road team has already won 3 games in this series. But I think more importantly, if St. Louis can play this game at even strength tonight, if they do not commit stupid penalties like they did on Sunday, where they gave Boston the early 5-on-3, I think there is a chance St. Louis can do this tonight. That's why I'm hesitating on whether or not to go to the betting window, because it looks on paper like clearly Boston. Game 7 going to be very emotional. They're at home momentum. I think it depends a lot on how the game is wrapped.
And that's what I think a lot of the Sharks are saying, too, when you talk about betting this game. And we're not saying we're betting. We're just talking about
it's
the idea.
It's legal now. We can talk about it.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying I'm
Supreme
not betting
Supreme Court
this.
Said it is.
But let me ask you this, though. If that happens, what's the significance of the Blues winning?
Well, it's huge in the city of St. Louis. I mean, I've said a couple times, that is a fan base that has suffered for 51 years.
Right.
That hockey team has always been the non-threatening Campbell Conference team that barely even sniffs the Stanley Cup final. They just lost their NFL team. It'd be huge in St. Louis. I don't think it would have this major resonating impact across the National Hockey League. And then one thing is, whenever Ryan O'Reilly gets his next contract,
right,
he will make a lot of money. He might win the Conn Smythe Trophy today. Probably. You don't have to be on the winning team to win the Conn Smythe Trophy. I think a lot of, and by the way, Conn Smythe Trophy is for playoff MVP. A lot of people don't know that.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to be on the winning team to be the MVP of the Stanley Cup playoffs. It's not for the final. It's for the playoffs. But I think Ryan O'Reilly would have a very, very good chance of winning that trophy.
But everything the Blues, when it's working for them, is all about the forecheck. And they create some turnovers. They create some play, some scoring opportunities quickly. Right. And Boston, like I said, you and I were joking around about it. The last game in St. Louis, I mean, like there was like 8 guys on the ice. They just kept coming after him, man. And it wasn't like they were really threatening decent goal shots. I mean, you got to put some really good
shots
on the net.
Yeah, they were routine saves. You got to make Rask move. Rask was making a lot of routine saves. And the thing is, you can't forecheck when you're shorthanded.
Right.
If St. Louis had not given Boston that early 5-on-3, it could have been a totally different outcome on Sunday, because Boston got the goal in the 5-on-3, and then they suffocated the game. And that is the key tonight. The longer it goes scoreless or St. Louis leading.
Blues.
I mean, obviously, the longer it goes
to
St. Louis leading.
Boston fans feel they got hosed in Game 5. And,
then they're even. Although, the calls were legitimate in Game 6.
And by the way, the Bruins are minus 175.
Mm-hmm.
So you bet 175 to win 100.
I think that's reasonable. I mean, they are the clear favorites. They've got the momentum. They're at home. Watch how this game is ref tonight. That's going to be the key. Now, something I've wanted to talk to you guys about for a few days, and we keep getting sidetracked because the U.S. Women's National Soccer Team scores 13 goals. Forbes magazine, I think yesterday, put out the list of the 100 highest-paid athletes of 2019. And there is a new number one. Floyd Mayweather was number one in 2018. He is totally off the list in 2019.
Really? Oh,
yeah. He's gone from number one off the list. He didn't make any money.
Yeah,
didn't fight. And this is not the value of the athlete. This is
earned
in 2019. So Lionel Messi earned $127 million American. He's number one. Cristiano Ronaldo, number two at $109 million. Neymar, number three at $105 million. So the top three on the list are soccer players.
Salaries and endorsements, Mike.
Yes, that is correct. Right. Canelo is fourth, $94 million.
Canelo!
That's
Be bold, Canelo. Be bolder.
And then Roger Federer is fifth. And Federer made $86 million of his $93 million last year in endorsements.
Wow.
Pretty crazy to think about,
it
right?
Is. It
so
is.
Federer is the endorsement leader by a wide, wide margin. You would think it might be LeBron James or something like that. No. Other athletes in the top 10, Russell Wilson at just under $90 million. Aaron Rodgers, same thing. LeBron at $89 million. Conor McGregor, by the way, is on the list. He made $47 million last year in endorsements, but he goes from number four to number 21 because he didn't fight Floyd Mayweather this year. This is for calendar year 2018, the 2019 list. So, you know, Floyd and Mayweather, they have that big fight, big right. payday. Makes sense. 2017, 2018 list, they're going to be 1-4. They both drop out. Matt Ryan is on the list, I think, at number 60. So
Matt doesn't do a lot of endorsements. That's the thing.
Yeah, he used to.
AirTran back in the day.
And AirTran.
Yeah. Right.
And, you know, a lot of guys don't like to do endorsements. They feel like it's a distraction.
Yeah.
So, you know, Russell Wilson does endorsements, I think, for American Family Insurance, if I remember that correctly.
I'd just like to be on the list, by the way.
Right.
Can I just get on the list?
I'd love to be in the top 100 in this radio station. I don't know if that'll ever happen, but Russell Wilson.
Hey, where's Lewis Hamilton on this list?
I don't see. I don't have the full list, so he would have to be pretty high up there.
Right.
What does Aaron Rodgers endorse? Oh, State Farm, I guess.
State Farm.
Yeah. State Farm. Yeah. And LeBron, he's got all kinds of endorsements. So those are the money guys. Soccer's where it's at.
It was $40 million, by the way, for the number one driver in the world, Lewis Hamilton.
Top three, though, are
soccer players.
Yeah.
Wow. Just think about that. You know, I know here in America, we feel like, all right, we've got a kid playing football or baseball. We're going to be good. Maybe you want to think about pushing them into soccer.
Right on.
Just saying. Or give them a golf club like Earl Woods did to Tiger. That worked out pretty well for him.
Not bad.
U.S. Open starts tomorrow in Pebble Beach. I am very excited. This is one of the most fun U.S. Opens you can have with the scenery and the challenge of the course. It's supposed to be cold and windy all weekend. It's going to be a very fun tournament, Shotmakers tournament. On the eve of the U.S. Open, Tiger Woods has found himself involved in a lawsuit.
What?
And he's trying to get it thrown out. There is a man whose parents are suing Tiger, claiming that their son was a bartender at Tiger's restaurant in Jupiter, Florida. And they say that he was overserved alcohol after his shift at the restaurant.
Oh, boy.
Then allowed to get into his car, and on the way home, he wrecked his car and died. His blood alcohol content, 0.256, which is very, very high. So his parents are suing Tiger Woods and his girlfriend and the manager of the restaurant, trying to hold them liable for wrongful death.
Now, they got to prove that, you know, they're buying him drinks. If anybody's worked in the bar business, we've all bartended, waited tables. When you're, you know, after hours and everyone's kicking it around, is the bar liable? You know what? Maybe you and I don't want to buy the bar that's for sale. Elliott Street's for sale, by the way, Mike, right down the corner from Mercedes-Benz.
It sounds like such a fun thing to do, but I watched that bar rescue show.
Oh, my God. Like, yeah.
Those guys, I don't know.
HR, like, nightmare, liability issues, Carl.
Ever since I saw that pirate bar that he tried to fix, I have had no desire
You're right.
To
it makes you think twice about it, right?
Tough business.
I said this when I saw this story. It's Mike Conte, in case you missed it. I just don't know how liable. And the deal is, the parents say that Tiger knew about his alcoholism.
Oh.
That's the history.
Hey, by the way, Mike Conte, before we let you go, we have a new name for the ballpark.
Yes, it sounds like a medical instrument.
Yeah, SunTrust and BB&T. It'll still be called SunTrust, Carl, to the end of the year. The name of the merger, what do you guys think? The banking company will be called Truist Bank.
Truist. Yeah.
You turn 40, we're going to have to give you the Truist.
Truist. Truist.
Sounds like a medical instrument.
Truist Park?
Yeah.
Check your doctor. See if Truist is right for you.
We've got the top three at six on the way. A lot of NBA news and more NFL conversation with the Falcons on the field today. It's Dukes and Bell.
I'm just happy to be here.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.